Greetings, friends. To the faithful brethren at Thyatira, Yeshua promises these two things. Number one, I will give you power over the nations to rule them with a rod of iron. And secondly, I will give you the morning star. When we talk about being given the rod of iron to rule nations, that rod of iron typifies that we are kings. But this morning star, when we are giving the morning star, this morning star represents the fact that we are priests. You remember in Revelation chapter 5, it says that we shall be kings and priests of the Most High, ruling in the kingdom of God, but also being a priest in the kingdom of God. This morning star represents that aspect of priesthood. Now, how do we know that the morning star represents this aspect of priesthood? Well, we know this because the Bible tells us that Christ is the morning star. That's the first thing we have to understand, is that Christ is the morning star. In Revelation chapter 22, in verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of these things concerning the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So there you have it. Jesus Christ is the morning star. As the morning star, what does Christ do? We can find that answer in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Yeshua spoke to people saying, I am the light of the world. So there we have it. As the morning star, he brings light into the world. Just like when the morning comes and the bright star is shining, it brings light out of darkness. That's the same thing that Yeshua does. Yeshua brings light to the world. He goes on to say, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light, and this light is the light of life. So not only is Yeshua the morning star, which means that he's the light of the world, but this type of light is the light of life. So when we talk about being given the morning star, we're talking about being given the light that brings life. So now you can see that not only as kings will we rule the nations with a rod of iron, meaning that we're going to be correcting them and judging them, but also as priests, we're going to be bringing life to them because we're going to be bringing Yeshua to them. During the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus the Christ, we will have the privilege of teaching people the way of life. And that is so, so beautiful. As the morning star, Christ is the light of the world, and his light gives life. As a result of us receiving the morning star, we will have eternal life and become eternal lights as well, enabling us to turn many to righteousness in our role as priests of the Most High. This is supported by the scripture in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 2 through 3. This is Daniel chapter 12 and verses 2 through 3. It reads, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting death. Those who are wise, which are obviously those who are resurrected to eternal life, those who are wise shall shine as the brightness of heaven, and those who turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever. So again, there you have it. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, it says that those who are resurrected will shine as the brightness of heaven. They will turn many to righteousness and will shine as the stars forever. As priests of the Most High, we will follow in the footsteps of the prophets and the apostles. What did they do? Let's read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. It says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Their minds have been blinded by the god of this world, which refers to Satan the devil, and they were blinded, so that they don't believe, and because they did not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what the apostles and the prophets were all about, was teaching the gospel, the good news of what God has done, is doing, and will do through Yeshua the Messiah, who is our salvation. This is the gospel of salvation, and salvation is being saved from death and being given life through Jesus the Christ, who is the life of the world, who is the light of the world. That is a great privilege to be able to share that gospel. It's a great privilege for those of us now who have an opportunity to do it, like I do over the radio program, but it's going to be even a greater privilege because we'll be able to reach a much greater number of people, and our gospel will have a much greater effect on people in the world tomorrow, and we'll be able to do it for 1,000 years as priests of the Most High God. Now let's read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 through 21. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. Here it says, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, to which you do well to take heed, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star," which is Jesus the Christ, the morning star, "until the day star arises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture came into being of its own private interpretation. For prophecy was not given birth at any time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit." So here we have it in this passage, the revelation that the morning star, this day star, brings with him into the soul, into our souls, the light of grace and glory. And this day star, this morning star, who is Jesus the Christ, he will give his people that same perfection of light and wisdom which is requisite to the state of dignity and dominion that we shall have in the morning of our resurrection. So when the morning comes and we are resurrected to eternal life, we will continue in the same job that the apostles and the prophets had, and that is of bringing the light of the glorious gospel of salvation to all of the world, and we'll be able to do it for 1,000 years. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's Jesus' final admonition to the church at Thyatira. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. When we began the study of the letter to Thyatira, we saw that anyone coming into the church at that time for the first time would have believed it to be fruitful in every good work and just surging with life. No doubt those who prospered in business because of their compromise with the world, they were lavish in their liberality. No doubt Jezebel seemed to many a fine character. She must have had a command of language and a fine presence. She must have had that in order to be regarded as a prophetess. The point here, though, is that the risen Christ, as our evaluator, he can see beyond the outward disguise. He knew that inwardly Jezebel and her disciples were filled with dead men's bones. They should have been put out of the church, since they wouldn't put sin out of their lives. One way or the other, sin has to be put out of a person's life and out of the church and eventually out of the world. And it can happen either through a person repenting, so we can put sin out of our lives through repentance and asking God to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. That's one way to get sin out of our lives. But also, we can refuse to get sin out of our lives, and God will kill us. Ultimately, he will put us into the lake of fire. That is the second death, from which there is no resurrection. So ultimately, sin won't be in our lives because we won't have life. There's two ways of dealing with it. Either we get rid of it through the death of Jesus the Christ, or else God is going to get rid of our sin through our own death. It's got to be one way or the other. The same thing with the church. We can either say to our brothers and sisters in love, hey, you need to really change what you're doing. You need to go to God in the spirit of humility and repent. And we'll be praying for you. That's what we should do, is go to a brother and sister in private and tell them about their fault. If they don't hear us, then in love, not in gossip, but in love, we take it to the elders of the church, not some busybody, but to the elders of the church, those who are mature in Christ, and we say, hey, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, something is established, and still if that person does not hear us, then we have to put that person out of the church. So either that person puts sin out of their lives so that that sin is not in the church anymore, or else we put that person who has that sin out of the church so that that sin is not in the church anymore. So one way or the other, that has to be accomplished. And the same thing with the world. Everybody in the world ultimately will either repent of their sins and have them washed away by the blood of Jesus, or else people will be put out of the world and again cast into the lake of fire, so that ultimately in the world tomorrow, when that new Jerusalem comes out of heaven down to earth, where God the Father himself, along with Jesus the Christ, makes their abode here on the earth, when there is a new heavens and a new earth, at that time there will be no more sin in the earth. At that time, all sin will be have been eradicated. So one way or the other, sin has to be dealt with. Now, thankfully, there were some faithful brethren that held on tight to the truths that they learned from the scriptures. They did not follow Jezebel. They didn't put her out, but at least they didn't follow her. And they held on to the truths, and they were overcomers until the end. They continued to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And as you remember from previous programs, YES is an acronym standing for, they yielded to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They embraced the teachings of the Holy Spirit, and they strove together with the Holy Spirit to overcome to the end, to finish the race, to walk in righteousness, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And these true Christians will be the ones qualified to rule with a rod of iron and to rule with the morning star. In other words, they will teach the truth and they will exercise judgment. They will have power over the nations, and they will be priests over the nations. They will teach the way of God, and they will enforce the way of God. That is our glorious destiny. I hope that all of you will be there. Please pray for me that I will be there in the kingdom of God, ruling and reigning with Jesus the Christ for 1,000 years as a king and as a priest. That is our destiny. Well, I thank you for joining me on this series of programs on Yeshua's evaluation of the church at Thyatira. I hope you'll be back for our next series of programs, and may God be in you.